Hello and welcome to the ScrapGov Scrap Podcast, where we talk about the increase in the size, the cost, the extent of the reach, and the power of a terroristic, tyrannical, de facto government, and many more. Soviet rule is a good audio to listen to. I have not got it on the podcast website yet, but I plan to. It's on my server, on one of my servers. Lenny Ladner has a copy of it. Basically, go to ladnerforcongress.com and or voteforlenny.com. And on Lenny's website, he'll have a link to the MP3 called Soviet Rule. And it's actually parked under the domain name Ladner for U.S. Senate, but it's on my server. I got an archive there. So, yeah. And eventually I'll have it here at scrapgovscrap.com. My phone's acting weird. Anyway. That's one audio you should listen to. Charlie Smith has a bunch of good stuff. Like, if you look on YouTube, there's a video by Charlie Smith called Are Guns to Blame? That's a good one. Charlie has a bunch of good. There's also a book called The Rise and Fall of Freedom in America, written by another friend of ours. His name is Ray Hall. You should check that book out. It's a good book to read. Educational. Yeah, there's a handful of them. Are You a David is another good book to read, especially if you are in law enforcement. If you're not in law enforcement, it's a good book to get in order to give to someone in law enforcement. It's called Are You a David? Anyhow. So I'm expecting David Ray to show up, but he's not here yet. He texted me about 30 minutes ago regarding the podcast. But, yeah. So I'm going to go to my notes, and then we'll do Ron Paul. All right, these are my old notes. We'll come back to those. Disclaimer. Basically, if you go to the website, you'll be able to see and read our written disclaimer. Basically, our opinions and our beliefs are our own. Anything that we say is hearsay evidence and cannot be held or is not admissible in court, mostly because the court does not accept hearsay evidence. Our first-hand knowledge is your hearsay evidence, so you should always go and do your own homework. Just because we say something, you know, that we've done our homework, but, you know, our homework might be incomplete. it might be biased or something of the sort. So you should always go do your own homework. Don't believe what other people tell you without doing your own homework, including us. Too many people, just believe what the teachers tell them, believe what the pastor tells them, believe what the president or the media tells them. But you shouldn't do that. You should always go and do your own homework. It's not always easy to do that, but you should nonetheless. And, weigh your options. Choose your battles. If you have reliable sources and you feel like you trust those reliable sources, well, you can believe what they have to say for the most part, but you should still do some preliminary research. Don't just believe 100%. For example, with religion, just because your parents believe something doesn't mean it's actually true. They were taught a certain way, and they believe that certain way is true because their parents taught them that way. And their parents think that way because that's what their parents taught them. And their parents, same. You get handed down all of these truths or lies. And you believe them, a lot of times it's a combination of both. You have lies and truths all mixed into one story. And you don't know what to believe, it's like you tend to want to believe it because it's falling in line with your doctrine or your political views or whatever. But just because the pastor or your parents or a book said it doesn't mean it's true. Just get out there and do some research and find out for yourself whether or not it's true. And you may never know. You may never know the truth, but at least you're getting out there and you're doing your own homework and you're, shaping your own mind. You're not letting other people shape it for you. So there you go. We are not man or other animals. Under the FDA federal and state regulations, they believe that we are animals. If you look at the FDA codes, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, you'll see in the regulations multiple times over that they classify us as animals. And they do that by saying man and other animals or man or other animals. It depends. The state regulations say one way and the federal regulations say it's the other way. So they both say and, or they say or. So if you say man or other animals, if you believe that you came from apes, then yeah, you might buy into that. But, that's like saying, cops and other criminals. Which is one I like to use. It classifies the cops in with the criminals. Because you're saying cops and other criminals. Well, a lot of cops are criminals, so that shoe actually fits. But, men are not animals. Women are not animals. Some of you might be, but most of us are not. So to classify us with animals is, don't know. I'd like to say a moot point, but they've already got it convinced that it's not a moot point, and they're already got it in their codes and regulations. It's like a joke that I used to tell. Sometimes I still do. It's a true story joke. What do you call three old or elderly black men in a barn? And the answer is antique farm equipment. Well, you could say the same for the Irish, because the Irish were slaves too. It's just that they weren't treated as good as the blacks. They weren't valued as much as the blacks, so you didn't hear about them as much. Black slaves were more valuable than Irish slaves. So it was a more popular subject. Anyhow, but yeah, they were treated like animals, farm equipment. And maybe that's where these regulations come from. Maybe they were talking about the slaves. But I seriously doubt it. I think what they're doing is they're classifying all of us as slaves. Anyone who they choose to be beneath them. So it doesn't matter what color you are, what nationality you are. If you don't follow their agenda, then they classify you as an animal, man or other animals. And then they can have dominion over you and tell you what to do. But anyhow, there's a lot of things. Basically, this podcast is pretty controversial. We talk about some far out stuff. But again, we advise you to do your own homework. We're not necessarily encouraging you to overthrow any terroristic, tyrannical, de facto governments, religious franchises, any 501c3s, or anything of that matter. I already screwed that part up, but oh well. Any religious or non-religious 501c3s is what I meant to say. Any fast food franchises, blah, blah, blah. Hospitals, Big pharma, big agriculture, big oil, they're all in congressmen's pockets. We got to get them out. Gotta quit. Gotta stop, these big corporations from telling Congress what to do. It's supposed to be we the people are telling Congress what to do, and Congress tells the businesses, when they're stepping out of line. Or, Congress, the government's job, they only really have one job, and that is to protect our freedoms and our liberties. I used to think that their other job was to protect our borders. But really, that's our job, because we the people are the standing army. We're supposed to be the standing army. But we've outsourced our thinking, we've outsourced our fighting, we've outsourced our money, we've outsourced our everything. So, of course, we have nothing, we have no rights because we've outsourced it all. We need to quit doing that. Yeah, I'm tired. I don't work 24 hours, but, well, not every day. But I'm on call 24/7, so after this podcast, I'm going to go to sleep so I can be ready if they call me. So I guess I'm going to do Ron Paul. Oh, before we get started, though, I want to talk about Donald Trump's wall. Now, I don't know if he's going to actually build the wall or not, but I understand that he's kind of putting that thinking on the back burner. I got my notes here. It says immigration problems. Building a wall is not the answer. That's my opinion. The wall, and this is what was brought to my attention. The wall would interfere with animal migration patterns. Now, there's ways around that, but if the animals can get through this wall, then so can humans. So the wall's not really going to stop people from coming through. And if it did, it would also block the migration pattern of certain animals, which is not good. Oh, my opinion is that we want to fix the immigration problem, then we need to quit giving them handouts, quit giving them incentives to come here and mooch off of us. If they didn't have the incentives, they wouldn't try to come over here. They'd be like, yeah, we're good. Guns don't cause crime. Gun laws cause crime. Gun laws are crime. We do have international numbers. You can call in from 63 different countries. We're not talking about scrapping government here in the U.S. We're talking about scrapping government worldwide. The New World Order is creeping in, with the UN trying to take over all of our countries and have us under this one world rulership. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily think that's a good idea. I used to maybe think it was, or certain concepts of it was way back when I was young and dumb. But now that I see what's going on, I'm like, no, that's not really a good idea. As far as sponsors go, I'm looking for sponsors, but right now I'm the only sponsor, so check out kclamanagement.com and see what I'm doing. See what I have to offer. So, I guess we'll call Ron Paul and see what he has to say before I call it a night, because I'm tired. I'm ready to pass out right now.
April 9th. Last week's shooting at YouTube's California headquarters is certain to add momentum to the push for more gun control. Even before the shooting, YouTube was working to undermine gun rights by banning videos promoting firearms, including videos teaching safe gun usage. As is usually the case, this latest shooting took place in a state with restrictive gun laws. In fact, California's gun laws may be the nation's most onerous. California not only registers all firearm purchases, but California residents must obtain permission from their local sheriff before they can legally buy a gun. Among the things Californians must do to obtain permission to legally own a gun is show good cause why the government should allow them to buy a gun. California's Mulford Act prohibits lawful gun owners from openly carrying legal firearms. This law was passed in the late 1960s and signed into law by then-Governor Ronald Reagan. The impetus for the law was the Black Panthers' armed patrols aimed at protecting the residents of African-American neighborhoods from police brutality. The Mulford Act is hardly the one example of a gun control law motivated at least in part by racial animus. As Tiffany Wave of the Brown Girls Project, an initiative that teaches African-American women responsible firearms ownership and usage, says, throughout much of American history, gun control was a method of keeping blacks and Hispanics in their place. One of the earliest examples of gun control was laws prohibiting slaves from owning guns. After slavery was ended, Jim Crow laws denied African Americans their Second Amendment rights. While the modern gun control movement is not explicitly racist, it is still likely that new gun control laws will disproportionately affect African Americans and other minorities. These concerns are increased by cases like that of the 32-year-old Philando Castile, who was shot by a police officer during a routine traffic stop when he told the officer he had a licensed firearm in his car. Those behind the new gun control push ignore how gun control has been used against African Americans in the past and how new gun control laws will disproportionately impact racial minorities. This may seem ironic since many gun control supporters are progressives and cultural Marxists who specialize in finding racism in every aspect of American politics and cultures. What is indisputably ironic is that many of those working to give the Trump administration new authority to ban guns are the same people who regularly accuse President Trump of fascism. These so-called Never Trumpers no doubt cheered when President Trump endorsed taking an individual's guns away without due process. These Never Trumpers also cheered when Attorney General Jeff Sessions banned bump stocks. Bump stocks increase the speed at which a rifle fires. By banning bump stocks, Sessions is taking an action President Obama's anti-gun rights Attorney General Eric Holder said he refused to take without explicit congressional authorization. History, sadly, including American history, shows that the right to keep and bear arms can be especially valuable to racial and other minorities. Therefore, progressives who are sincerely concerned about protecting minorities from oppressive government should join the libertarians and constitutional conservatives in defending the Second Amendment. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1.
weekly update for Monday, April 9th. Last week's shooting at YouTube's California headquarters is certain to add momentum to the push for more gun control. Even before the shooting, YouTube was working to undermine gun rights by banning videos promoting firearms, including videos teaching safe gun usage. As is usually the case, this latest shooting took place in a state with restrictive gun laws. In fact, California's gun laws may be the nation's most onerous. California not only registers all firearm purchases, but California residents must obtain permission from their local sheriff before they can legally buy a gun. Among the things Californians must do to obtain permission to legally own a gun is show good cause why the government should allow them to buy a gun. California's Mulford Act prohibits lawful gun owners from openly carrying legal firearms. This law was passed in the late 1960s and signed into law by then-Governor Ronald Reagan. The impetus for the law was the Black Panthers' armed patrols aimed at protecting the residents of African-American neighborhoods from police brutality. The Mulford Act is hardly the one example of a gun control law motivated at least in part by racial animus. As Tiffany Wave of the Brown Girls Project, an initiative that teaches African-American women responsible firearms ownership and usage, says, throughout much of American history, gun control was a method of keeping blacks and Hispanics in their place. One of the earliest examples of gun control was laws prohibiting slaves from owning guns. After slavery was ended, Jim Crow laws denied African Americans their Second Amendment rights. While the modern gun control movement is not explicitly racist, it is still likely that new gun control laws will disproportionately affect African Americans and other minorities. These concerns are increased by cases like that of the 32-year-old Philando Castile, who was shot by a police officer during a routine traffic stop when he told the officer he had a licensed firearm in his car. Those behind the new gun control push ignore how gun control has been used against African Americans in the past and how new gun control laws will disproportionately impact racial minorities. This may seem ironic since many gun control supporters are progressives and cultural Marxists who specialize in finding racism in every aspect of American politics and cultures. What is indisputably ironic is that many of those working to give the Trump administration new authority to ban guns are the same people who regularly accuse President Trump of fascism. These so-called never-Trumpers no doubt cheered when President Trump endorsed taking an individual's guns away without due process. These never-Trumpers also cheered when Attorney General Jeff Sessions banned bump stocks. Bump stocks increase the speed at which a rifle fires. By banning bump stocks, Sessions is taking an action President Obama's anti-gun rights Attorney General Eric Holder said he refused to take without explicit congressional authorization. History, sadly, including American history, shows that the right to keep and bear arms can be especially valuable to racial and other minorities. Therefore, progressives who are sincerely concerned about protecting minorities from oppressive government should join the libertarians and constitutional conservatives in defending the Second Amendment. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for Monday, April 9th. Last week's shooting at YouTube's California headquarters is certain to add momentum to the push for more gun control. Even before the shooting, YouTube was working to undermine gun rights by banning videos promoting firearms, including videos teaching safe.
All right, so there was a shooting at YouTube. About 5 years ago, YouTube was bought by Google. YouTube has been going downhill since. Who is Google? Google backs the New World Order agenda. They back the chipping of Americans and, well, everybody for that matter. In fact, they're fast working on this microchip
to make sure that this New World Order agenda is more possible. Google is the enemy. So, naturally, Google is going to do things like get behind YouTube to censor us, not allow us to talk about the New World Order. That's why I don't have a YouTube account anymore. They're anti-truth. They basically deleted all of my stuff because I had too much educational and freedom fighter stuff on there. I was educating people how to forge and survive off the grid. You know, I was promoting our off-grid organic farm and retreat, educating people how to be independent. We didn't talk about guns too much, but, you know, I had a lot of anti-New World Order videos on there talking about the rise and fall of freedom in America. And so, yeah, they had to get rid of me, and so they found a way to get rid of my account and basically, you know, they update their terms of service all the time. And so they updated their terms of service recently. And all of a sudden, bam, I'm in violation where I was not in violation before. Well, they only allow you 3 strikes. Basically, 5 years ago when Google bought YouTube, I was in violation of Google's new rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines. And I had 2 strikes against me then. I worked hard to clean up my YouTube because I didn't want to be in, I didn't want to, get deleted. So mostly I just made a lot of the stuff that was in violation private, basically took them down, took them offline. They weren't necessarily New World Order stuff, although some of them were. It was mostly anything that was or could have been in what they called copyright infringement. Because, yeah, I mean, I had stuff that wasn't necessarily my own, but I was still advertising and promoting things for the people. And another thing I had to do is I had to go out and get written consent from certain people to have their stuff on my YouTube account. Otherwise, YouTube would have shut me down, and they tried to. Well, then they updated their terms of service again, and when they did this last time, it basically put me in violation. I had my 3rd strike. I was doing good for 5 years, and then after 5 years, they changed their terms of service, and all of a sudden, bam, I'm in violation. 3, I'm out. And they terminated all of my stuff, basically. 10 years worth of work, down the tubes, they deleted it all. And basically, it was, you know, I believe it was because I had too much freedom fighter information, too much thinking outside the box stuff. They wanted to squish me, get rid of me, and they did. I've been meaning to repost all of my stuff on, I think it was not PopModal, Daily Motion, but I haven't reposted any of my videos anywhere. So they were successful in shutting me up. Like I said, I should have already reposted all my stuff, but I didn't. Yeah. So Google is the enemy. Google and YouTube are working for the New World Order agenda. So, yeah, I can see why either this was a stage, a setup, you know, to look like poor Google, or it really happened and people are aware that Google is the enemy and so they went after Google. But chances are it was a fake, it was a phony, it was all, it never happened. It's like 90% of the school shootings never happened. They were all just crisis actors. And like I said, chances are same thing happened at YouTube. I'm not going to say 100%, but it has to be one of those two. That's my opinion. But yeah, Google is not your friend. Google, YouTube, they are against you. So be careful who you trust and what you trust when it comes to Google. I have a love-hate relationship with them, and I have had this issue with Google for the last decade. Not decade, half of a decade. Most people don't get it. Most people never will. But, yeah. I don't know what to tell you. But, I hear that a lot of people were rooting on the shooter. They were backing the shooter when it came to this Google shooting or YouTube shooting. And I must say, if it's real, I don't know. I might back the shooter too. I'm not sure what happened. I'm not sure what the motive was. But I'm pretty sure that, you know, Google did them wrong, just like they did me wrong. And that might be why they went after them. I can't say that their employees are innocent because, you know, who's to say the Nazi employees were innocent? You know, their excuse is, oh, I was just doing my job. Well, if your job is to violate people's God-given and or constitutional rights, then, and you comply with that, then that makes you the bad guy. And you have no right to complain when someone comes to punish you because you're causing harm. You know, it's like when you get pulled over by an officer, a New World Order slave enforcement officer, for doing something like, I don't know, not using a turn signal when a turn signal is not necessary, or not registering your vehicle properly. Well, you don't have to register your vehicle. You're a sovereign, you know, you're a national. You're a sovereign of this nation. You don't report to them. They report to you. But they think, they're told, that if you don't have proper registration, you don't have insurance on your vehicle, that you're the bad guy, you're a criminal, and you must pay, you must suffer, you must be punished. And they're causing harm to you by forcing this regulation onto you because, one, there's no reason for you having to register and pay taxes on your stuff. It belongs to you. It doesn't belong to them. If you purchased it from them and you were making payments to them, then yeah, they should be able to charge you an interest on it. But you didn't buy it from them. You're not making any purchase from them except for the ones that they force you to do. So why should you pay them a tax? They didn't work for it. They didn't earn it. They don't own your vehicle. They don't own your property. They think they do, but they don't. It's yours. But they're terrorists, and they force you to pay tax, or as we call it, pay theft. They steal from you. They force you to pay this tax on things that they don't have a right to charge you tax for. And if you don't pay for their registrations and their taxes, they come to destroy you. They come to punish you. They come to take your things, take your livelihood. They come to make you homeless, make you vehicle-less, whatever. That's causing harm. Now, you not registering your vehicle with the New World Order is not causing harm to anyone. You maybe not using your turn signal when they think you should is not causing anyone harm. Now, if you don't use your turn signal and someone runs into you because they didn't know that you were turning and they had the right-of-way or whatever, and you caused an accident, that's when you're guilty. But if you didn't cause an accident, you didn't cause anyone harm by your actions, then you didn't do anything wrong. You potentially could have done something wrong, and you might get scolded for it, but you should not get fined. You should not get penalized. You should not be caused any harm because you hadn't caused any harm. You may have potentially caused harm, but that doesn't mean you did. And your intent may not have been to cause harm. You know, like not stopping at a stop sign. That would be a more logical example. You see a stop sign, you're coming up to it, you may yield instead of stopping. You see nobody coming, so you just yield and go. You know, that is not causing harm to anyone. It could potentially cause harm to someone. Maybe there was a kid that you didn't see. Maybe there was a car you didn't see or an animal you didn't see. And or almost, you know, either could have maybe hit them, whatever. That's a potential hazard, but it doesn't mean it was a hazard. And whether there was a stop sign there or not, whether you actually stopped or not, those hazards would still be there. So if you didn't harm anyone, then you didn't do anything necessarily wrong. Now, if there is a stop sign and you are advised, or even like a school zone where you're advised to slow down because kids may be present. If you don't slow down and you cause harm to someone, you actually hit somebody, then you've been warned. Those signs are warnings. They're not law. They're warnings. And if you cause harm to someone because you violate that warning, then yeah, you should be punished. But if you don't harm anybody, then you haven't caused any harm. Therefore, you should not be punished. Scolded, maybe, but not punished. So, why is the government causing harm to its sovereign people? Ask yourself that. Why are we allowing our government, why are we allowing Google to cause harm to people? You know, Google has gotten too much power. They think they can tell governments what to do. And when they first did that, I think it was with China. I don't remember. It was about 5 or so years ago. I thought it was funny, and I thought it was cool. You know, Google standing up for themselves and telling a government that they're not going to be bullied. And to a degree, I agree with that. But Google is a bully. They are the ones doing bullying. So if they're in the wrong and they're being the bully, then I don't agree with them. If they're in the right and they're the ones being bullied, then I would have to agree with them. But chances are Google's actually the one in the wrong. They're the ones who are trying to enforce the New World Order agenda. They're the ones who is trying to brainwash us. They're trying to censor us. They don't want certain information to get out. They don't want you to be educated, properly educated. You know, it's like the government owns the schools now. The government owns the textbooks. The government can tell you, they basically control what your children learn. What we learned when we went to school. You know, I went to public school, and whenever I got out of school, I realized that half the stuff that I was taught was lies. And my biggest examples are the Civil War and the Native American history. I mean, those are two real big lies that they told us. There's a lot of them. I mean, I can't name them all right off the top of my head, but like I said, those are the two biggies. Vietnam. You know, the story they tell us about that was a lie. You know, now the story that they tell us about the Middle East is a lie. You know, basically it's all about money and power. And what do people with money and power want? More money and power. So, yeah. Do I blame the people for shooting up Google or threatening to shoot up Google or whatever they did? Probably not. Like I said, they're pretty much the bad guy now. And I don't know that I'd back them on anything anymore. We need to take our country back. We need to take our freedoms and our liberties back. And anyone who opposes those liberties, hey, what is the punishment for tyranny? What is the punishment for terrorism? Our YouTube is Google, they're terrorists, I'm sorry to say. Hello?
Hello?
You're late, and I was just about to end this.
Your voice sounded very different.
Yeah. I actually fell asleep on the podcast.
Oh, no!
Yeah. So there's some dead air in this podcast.
Oh, my. My apologies. I lost track of time, and And we really should include John Walters in our podcast.
He's more than welcome to call in.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he has the patience to sit around and talk with us. But I suppose if we purposely got him started at the beginning of the podcast, he would probably fill in a good hour easily.
Easily.
We just might not necessarily be able to control what subject he talked about.
That's fine. This is a freedom podcast.
Yeah. His big issue tonight was gun control, of course. You know, that's his main subject.
And YouTube.
And what?
And YouTube.
John Walters, not Jerry.
No, YouTube.
Oh, me also?
No. There was a shooting at or regarding YouTube.
Oh, well, he didn't mention that. I don't keep up on current events, so you got to give me more reference than that in the future.
That's fine. I heard about it, didn't pay too much attention to it, and then Ron Paul talked about it.
Right. Yeah, see, I've come to the conclusion that all the news I've been hearing is pretty much the same, repeated over and over and over again, and everybody gets shocked and out of place because, well, the names and the places change and the times, but...
Well, yeah, it's the same crap. It's basically them trying to take away our guns.
Well, that too. Yeah, it's that also. But, you know, some of these shootings are very obviously staged, and nobody really catches on to that. And,
right, crisis actors.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of these shootings lately, they've consistently been... the first one I noticed that had this formula was the Batman shooting. And the Batman movie was released and at this theater someplace, I forget where, it doesn't really matter, there was a shooting. All right? And the kid who supposedly did it had obviously done, if he did it by himself, he'd obviously done a good solid week, even months worth of prep work in order to get ready for it. And how in the world all of the people who clean up the theater didn't notice, but, you know, he had placed ammo cans and munitions all around the theater, so, you know, he'd be ready to rearm himself and all this stuff. And, you know, apparently he had two helpers with him when he did it, but the two helpers stopped to be mentioned after a little while, and pretty soon they were saying it was only him.
Right.
All right. And, you know, later on there was a mall shooting up north, you know, maybe even a year later, and it had exactly the same formula. Well, actually, there was details about the Batman shooting that was really fishy. They said that it was a certain individual, and when they showed you pictures of that individual and they showed you who they arrested, they weren't the same person. The only thing they had in common is they both had red hair, but not even the same shade of red hair.
Right.
Another inconsistency is the guy that they arrested in the parking lot was completely out of it, sitting in a car. All right? Wouldn't have been able to even pull a trigger, let alone kill him.
Right. He was too stoned or something.
Right. Okay. So he didn't match the description of the person he claimed he was, and he didn't have the mental capacity to... You know, maybe he could have shot one person accidentally.
Right.
No. Maybe. If he could manage to hook his finger into the trigger, you know. All right. Well, you know, later, I don't know how much later, but, you know, it seemed like it was like a year later or so. There was a small shooting up north. I don't remember if it was in Minnesota or Dakota or whatever, but it was at a mall. And it had the same formula. All the initial reports was there's three shooters. All right. But very quickly, it became only one shooter. And they stopped mentioning all the stuff that had been positioned and stuff like that, because that was a clear indication of prep work being done. And you know, for it to be a lone shooter and spur of the moment, that didn't fit, you know. And there was a few other shootings of that nature. And it got to the point where anytime somebody mentioned that there was a shooting, I would list off the details and say, did this, this, and this happen? And they'd be like, oh, you did see it. No. You're my first report of the incident. You know, it's just, it was following a formula. You know, so
right.
We want gun control, and so they're staging these events. Yes, people really are dying, you know, and it's inappropriate. And the person who's doing the shooting, well, he should probably be shot on the spot to prevent anybody else from being hurt, which would require somebody other than him have a gun, which means, you
right.
know, in general, the public should be armed.
Yeah, like that Vegas guy.
To protect all of us.
And that's like that Vegas guy. I don't know what that was all about. But, you know, he ended up getting taken out by a sovereign. And somebody confronted Donald Trump because they were trying to get the guns taken away about the subject. And, you know, of course, Donald Trump was trying to address the Korean issue, not a gun control problem in the U.S. But this lady insisted on talking about the shooting in the U.S. when they were supposed to be talking about foreign affairs. And so he addressed it by saying, if we didn't have a sovereign, of course he didn't use those words, if we didn't have, he said a citizen, if we didn't have a citizen, an armed citizen, there to take the guy out, we would have had a lot more dead people.
Right. So she got the opposite response of what she wanted.
Basically, yeah.
And
but
yeah, that's
he was right.
Every time they bring up the issue of gun violence, they say gun violence, gun violence, gun violence. They keep using that word gun in reference to the violence. All right? And then they turn around and point out countries like Japan, which doesn't have any gun violence because they don't have any guns.
But they still have violence.
They still have violence. They have just as much violence. The only thing is you get killed by a bat and a kitchen knife.
Right. Which,
because they've
I don't
also
know, I think I'd rather be shot.
Yeah, the land of the samurai has more or less banned the use of swords, you know, so... So you don't get killed by a sword. You get killed by a kitchen knife or a baseball bat.
Which is even worse.
Oh, yeah.
They're making it to where these deaths are more brutal.
Oh, yeah. You know.
You take away the fast killing weapons, and then all you have left is slow killing weapons. And I'm sorry, but bad people will always find a way to kill good people.
Well,
or other bad people.
Or, you know, bluntly, people will always find a way to kill people.
Yeah.
including themselves, because, you know, they try to say suicides will be down. Well, yeah, gun suicides are down. Gun accidents are down. If there's no guns, you're not going to have gun this and gun that. All right? But, you know, there's a shift, and the violence goes elsewhere. You know, what are you going to ban? You're going to ban ropes. You're going to ban cars. You're going to ban, you know, sharp instruments like pencils and and pens.
Eventually, we're all going to be living in a bubble.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they're going to ban bubbles because people are going to be killing each other with their bubbles.
Inside your bubble. Somebody might hurt you.
Yeah, we'll be all bubble boys and girls.
Violent because you've gotten out of your bubble.
How dare you get out of your bubble? It's all your fault. You got out of your bubble.
Now we're going to have to go lock you up in an even smaller bubble with no windows.
Well, if you're 6 feet under, you're in a different bubble.
Yeah. The other subject that he brought up was inoculations.
Oh, yeah, that's our favorite subject.
He's not going to let his little girl get inoculated. But he's...
And he shouldn't.
Yeah. He feels that he's going to have to put her into public school because he's a single dad.
Right.
He just really isn't going to have time to take care of her. You know?
Yeah, that's the New World Order agenda.
Right. And so, you know, there he is. He's going to use the glorified babysitter, basically. You know? But he stayed flat out. He's had two major cases in his family where people were damaged by the inoculations. Nearly killed one of his daughters. And it ruined his vision.
Oh, yeah, multiple sclerosis is a result of one of the inoculations. I can't remember which one.
Well, from my studies, and folks, you need to go and do your own studies, but from my own studies, I've come to the conclusion that every inoculation causes a little bit of brain damage. Gives you a miniature stroke.
Yeah.
All right, every last problem.
That and or other problems, like the flu shot gives you the flu.
Yeah. And, you know, you hear about shaken baby syndrome. My conclusion is 99% of those are... The doctor gave an inoculation, the baby suffered brain damage, they blamed the parent for shaking the baby.
Right.
You know, so the doctor did it, and but the parent goes to jail.
Right.
So.
Well, yeah. Chemicals, inoculations, it's like SIDS. SIDS is usually probably a result of mineral oil. People are using this baby oil on their babies, and mineral oil blocks the absorption in the skin, therefore the skin can't breathe, and you partly breathe through your skin. And so they believe that a lot of reasons why a lot of these babies die, the sudden infant death syndrome, is because their skin isn't breathing, and therefore they can't breathe, and they die.
That's probably a strong contributing factor, but here's a case working to Japan. In the United States, they're pushing for earlier and earlier inoculations. All right, in Japan, they did a study, and they came to a conclusion that they should hold off on those inoculations. And their study demonstrated that babies that did not receive early inoculations did not suffer SIDS.
Ah, so it's probably a combination of both.
Inoculating has a strong contributing factor to SIDS. Again,
I believe that.
If every inoculation causes brain damage, well, of course, some of those babies are going to die in the crib. They're going to suffer catastrophic brain damage, and, you know, they're too young for you to notice the personality change. You know, I mean, you know, a mother will notice something, but, you know, she won't know whether it's just, you know, personality development or if it was brain damage, you know. And basically she won't know until the child gets older and is incapable of learning the alphabet, you know.
Right. And that might be part of what my problem was. And that might be part of what my problem was growing up, you know, my inoculations that I was forced to get when I was a kid may have caused me learning disabilities as well. And I could be a whole lot smarter right now than I am.
Yeah. That said, I don't believe that brain damage is permanent. I believe it can be fixed. And,
I refuse to get inoculated. I take a lot of herbs and minerals and vitamins. I try to eat right. I do eat some junk. But I'm healthier now than I was when I was 20. And I don't know that I'm smarter. Sometimes I feel brain dead because I do too much homework. But I am smarter. I'm healthier than I was when I was in my youth, if you will, because I refuse to participate in their pharmaceutical practices.
Yeah.
I just wish I can get my kids away from it.
Well, they're dealing with other influences, and you weren't really allowed to be in their life. So.
Yeah, I know. It's not my fault, but I still wish I could do it.
Yeah, I understand. I'm in similar circumstances. I was lucky to have at least the first 12 years of my children's lives.
You know, I only had one.
I don't think you even got that.
I had about a year. And, my youngest, I probably had more. Not really. I had a couple of years with both of them, and that's about it.
And that goes to another issue. That's the modern state as husband and father and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and then my last wife, with her kids, I had more influence on them than I did my own, and they turned out a whole lot better. Of course, their mother was more or less on the same wavelength with me, too. She was against a lot of the inoculations. She was against a lot of the pharmaceuticals. She was still pro-pharmaceutical, but more so than me, but not as much as my exes, you know, or my kids' mothers. She hardly ever took her kids to the doctor. You know, we practiced alternative health, and we allowed them to be self-taught, you know. We promoted them to be self-taught, and they were a lot smarter, they were a lot healthier, you know, because of that influence that we had on them. But, you know, Mary only gave them the inoculations, if you will, that she was forced to give them. And, but that was it, only the minimal, you know.
Well, if you're raising children in the future, teach them that when people ask them you know, well, don't you go to school? Have them say something along the lines of, oh, I don't need to go to school. I'm an autodidact.
There you go.
They'll be like, what?
Oh, yeah. I'll be right back. Go ahead and monologue for a minute.
Oh, boy, you want me to monologue?
I gotta go.
I just used up all my material.
Well, you know, continue. It'll just be a minute. I gotta go to the bathroom.
All righty. Our friend, who lives in the property behind us, they ended up moving out because it was too cold for them and their children. The mom and dad figure they could get by with it, but they'd all gotten sick that winter, and for the children's sake, they moved into Springfield. And in the process, he ended up putting his daughter in school. And this is Missouri. And basically, all you have to do in Missouri is you fill out a form. And you have to hunt down the form yourself because the school will not voluntarily provide it. But basically, they filled out a form saying, our children are not to be inoculated. And I guess you have to fill out one of those for every child in your family. And even then, he's a bit nervous because, well, I don't know about Missouri yet, but I do know out in California, they will pull kids into the nurse's office and not even tell the kid that they're receiving an inoculation. They'll just give the child an inoculation, and they'll mark in their records that the child's been inoculated. But these are records that they don't want you to see. So, yeah, I told John about that tonight. By the way, just be sure not to mention family names. He made it clear that if anybody inoculated his daughter, anybody involved in that process would be dead.
And I would back him on that.
Oh, yeah.
Because basically they're putting her life in danger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a self-defense issue, and while they aren't, you know, after the fact, they aren't currently holding a gun to somebody's head, they've demonstrated that they're willing to do that even when they've been clearly instructed not to. So,
oh, yeah, and they think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, they think they're doing the right thing, but...
And, of course, they'll think he's evil because he doesn't want his daughter to be protected.
Yeah, well, you know, every communist thinks they own your children.
Well, it's not so much even that. They assume that he's the one who's evil because they assume that these inoculations are for your own good because that's what they tell us. And they haven't done their own homework. So they automatically, you know, these school people, if you will, they automatically assume that the father or the parents are evil because they're not looking out for their children's best interest because they're not allowing them to get these inoculations. And these inoculations are supposed to protect the children. Oh, we have to protect the children.
And while they're trying to protect the children, they're actually killing them instead. But they don't realize that.
At the very least, causing brain damage.
Well, yeah. But they don't realize that because they're stupid.
Yep. Wait.
But they make us, people like us, out to be the evil ones when they don't realize that they're the ones being evil. What?
What do you mean my child needs a lobotomy for his own hell?
Right.
You know, if I caught somebody sticking an ice pick into some kid's eye and wiggling it around in the front of the brain, I would kill that person and anybody who defended him on the spot.
Right.
Because they're obviously, you know, out to destroy children. You know, the body may still be alive, but, you know, they're out, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I back him 100%. I support him 100%. I can't say that I would have the balls to do it myself, but I back somebody who does.
Yeah.
That's just like years ago. I don't remember how long ago this was exactly. Somewhere between 5 and 10 years ago, a guy got angry at the IRS because of whatever they did to him, and he took his airplane and flew it into the IRS building.
Oh, I vaguely remember that. I thought he was an idiot.
Yeah. They hushed that one up real quick because too many people backed him.
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure. I don't think he's an idiot now, but, you know.
Well, they basically
agree with him. The IRS is evil. I'm not sure he did did the right thing in his attempt to solve it.
Well, he may have not done the right thing necessarily, but it's kind of like that guy in Cedar County where the government basically took everything away from him and he was innocent. If he retaliated.
Yeah.
Well,
there's somebody in Cedar County that retaliated?
Huh?
There's somebody in Cedar County that retaliated?
No. If he retaliated. The guy who got accused of murdering his mother and he never did, and he finally got acquitted, but they took everything away from him in the meantime.
Yeah.
And left him a pauper. Basically left him poor and dependent on the government. If he retaliated, you really couldn't blame him.
No. Yeah, but who is he going to retaliate against? I mean,
right.
You know, he trusted that lawyer to protect him. But it was the lawyer who raped him.
Right. The lawyer and the judge and whoever else was involved. But if the guy wakes up and realizes that they raped him and he retaliates for it, you really can't blame the guy.
No.
Same with the guy who basically blew up the IRS building by flying his airplane into it. Yeah, he took his own life because he knew the consequences. They pretty much already took his life anyways. And if he would have retaliated, they would have taken it even further. So he knew the consequences and he did, you know, he weighed the pros and cons and he did what he felt was necessary. I can't say that I blame him. I don't know that I wouldn't have done the same thing. But, and same with this situation. If, you know, he says, if they inoculate my child, I'm going to kill him. You know?
Pretty much.
Same thing, you know. Of course, he also knows that if he kills them, they're going to come for him. So he's going to, you know, it's going to be a shootout.
Yeah.
And then what? But then
the
what?
The problem is, then, you know, they'll accuse you of child abuse when in truth they're the ones abusing the children.
Right. And the problem is he's going to lose no matter what happens. If they inoculate her, cause her medical problems, she loses. If he retaliates, he loses. Because they're going to come for him and kill him or put him in prison for the rest of his life. And then she's going to suffer for that. So either way, if he does nothing or if he does something, she still loses. So the government wins.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's
better not
the problem.
To put children in. Now, I don't know if it's still true, but when I first came to the state, I looked it up. There are homeschooling laws. Not that they got a series of laws that they call homeschooling, but you know, the rules and regulations, standards and guidelines that they apply to regulating homeschool. Basically, they don't. If you want to homeschool, you literally can pull your child out of school at any time. You don't even have to tell them. And just start homeschooling. Now, they do allow you to fill out a form to explain that that's what you're doing. Okay? But from what I read, you actually give up a lot of rights when you fill out that form, because they'll turn around, come in your house, and they will test the child to see that you're teaching the child appropriately, and they'll want to see your records. You'll have to keep records in order to prove that you've been educating the child. All right? So, otherwise, they won't bother you at all unless somebody says that you're not teaching your child, and at which point then they'll ask you to start keeping records and such. But, you know, you just pull them out.
So, right.
Now, California, you practically have to seek their permission to pull your child out.
Well, you can do it,
but they have rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines you have to follow.
Yep. Yeah, California is probably the worst state to live in.
I don't know. I hear Illinois is pretty bad.
Yeah, they're all getting bad. Because we don't stand up for our rights.
Missouri wants to tax everything. I mean, everything.
Oh, yeah. They think they own everything. For too long, they'll be taxing your children.
Well, yeah, I mean, the form they have you fill out to tell them what all property you own, on it, you have to swear, you have to write, you have to checkmark a statement that says that you have not moved anything out of the state of Missouri for the sake of avoiding taxes. It's like, well, there's a reason why they added that to the law, and it's because their taxes are draconian. You know, their laws are already draconian, And people are moving things out of the state of Missouri in order to avoid having them taxed.
And I don't blame them. I mean, if you own property in another state, you have the right to move, you know, to license stuff in another state in order to avoid taxes if that state has a better tax law.
Hey, I got a question for you. Does Oklahoma license trailers?
I don't know. I'll have to find out.
Because you plan on owning property there.
I thought about it. It depends on how long I'm working in the oil field. What we probably should do is find some land at the corner
Mississippi.
of Missouri, Arkansas. Well, let's see, we can only do three in that corner. We can do Missouri, Arkansas, and Oklahoma, or we can do Missouri,
yep.
Kansas, and Oklahoma.
Yep. And go a little bit south and do Oklahoma, Texas, and Arkansas.
Yeah. Texarkoma.
Texans are in a coma.
Yeah. Well, any place south of Dallas I call Texaco.
Texaco. Oh, my.
Yep. People are confused when I tell them I'm going to Texaco. They're like, where's that at? Because they automatically think of the gas station.
Any place south of the border. The border being Dallas.
South of I-40. Anybody south of I-40, basically. Or I-20. Anybody south of I-20, my bad. 40 goes through Oklahoma City. So anybody south of I-20 is in Texaco. But yeah. Gun control. Oh, you want to talk about Donald Trump and his wall?
Sure, we can talk about the wall. Who's Donald Trump?
I don't know, some guy who thinks he's president.
What's he the president of? What corporation?
The United Soviet States of America.
No, I don't ascribe to that company.
I hear you. So anyway,
I'm an American. I don't believe in those foreign things.
I hear you. Well, yeah, I mean, D.C. is actually not part of the United States. But anyways, that's a different subject. We'll talk about that one later. Immigration problems. Okay. Building a wall is not the answer. The wall would interfere with animal migration patterns. To fix the immigration problem is to fix the welfare problem. Quit giving them handouts, and now quit trying to come here illegally. Then again, what is legal and what is lawful? David Ray has a comment on this, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, first off, they talk about legal immigrants. All right. Immigrating to what? The United States? United States is a society. It's not a piece of land. Okay? Nobody can enter a society without the society giving them permission to do so. So it's not possible to have an illegal immigrant to the United States. It's a non sequitur.
Right.
If they're entering the United States, it's because the society, the United States, gave them permission to enter. Now, just because I walk into your house doesn't mean I became a member of your family, unless that's your family's policy. All right? I have met a few families that if you come to their house 3 times, you're considered family, and you don't have to ask to go in the refrigerator anymore. You know?
That's not my house.
No. My kids have to ask permission to go in the refrigerator if they abuse it. And they did. Like, and they're definitely family.
Yeah, I wasn't that strict. Go ahead.
All right. So, you can't have an illegal immigrant into your family. You know, you have to, as a family, say, yeah, this person's a member. You know? Same thing goes for the United States. It's not possible to immigrate into America illegally. It's not possible to immigrate into America unlawfully. Well, actually, it might be. It might be unlawful to enter into America. Seeing as entering into America might very well be a rejection of God. So,
right.
So the act of entering America may in itself be an unlawful act, because you're now placing a foreign god above God.
Oh, Christians do that all the time anyway.
Well, yeah. Well, they're confused because they, you know, they believe in three gods being one, you know.
Right.
So,
but to fix this immigration problem that they think they have, if they quit giving them handouts, then they wouldn't have this problem.
Well, yeah, they give them the handout. They call them illegal aliens, and they give them a handout, mm-hmm. which is tacitly saying, you're now a member of our society. You know.
So they say, welcome to our society, but you're still illegal.
Yeah. You know.
What it boils down to is they're trying to create more or less like a race war. So they invite them in, and then they make them out to be the enemy, and then they get us all riled up to say, hey, we need to do something about those people. We need more rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines. So we increase the size, the cost, extend the reach, and the power of government.
Now, see, the actual answer is don't feed them. Give them jobs. And actually, a lot of them want jobs. So,
that's true.
Let them have jobs. and they'll feed themselves. And they'll spend money over here while they're here and bolster the economy.
That's it.
It's like, and if you're complaining about them taking jobs that Americans need, it's like, well, if the Americans really need them, then why didn't they take the jobs? Seeing as they have the advantage, they speak the right language, and they were here first. Like, oh, well, they can't work as cheap. Well, why not?
Take them away.
So what?
Work under the table like they did.
I have a right to work. If I'm willing to work for less than what you call minimum wage, that's my business.
Sure.
You know? And if you won't hire me, I am going to work anyway. And it's going to be less than minimum wage. It's going to be zero, but I'm going to still work. Because by working, I produce things for myself.
Right.
I mean, nobody paid me today to go out and cut wood. Right?
Right.
Now, I hope Shirley and Lowly forgive me for this, but there's two old ladies here, and I checked on them, and I made sure that they had enough wood for those things that they need to do. And then I made sure I had enough wood to get me through the night. You know, so, you know, there you go. All right, so in a way I did get paid. I'm enjoying the heat, the results from my labor. Okay? And there was a little bit of welfare involved because Bill had the wood that I chopped up hauled in here. So I didn't go out in the woods and look for it. I went through his wood pile and cut it up. Now, it's a wood pile he wants to get rid of. And so in the process, I'm actually doing him a favor also, because he wants to clean up that yard so he can have bigger and better parties without worrying about people tripping on it. So. So I'm helping him clean up his place, but it's not wood that I provided for myself, it's wood that he provided. So in a way there was some welfare involved. But it was by agreement. It wasn't by the expediency of, you got starving people here, better feed them or they're going to riot.
Well, yeah, it wasn't really welfare because he wanted it gone and you provided the service to get rid of it.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, right.
Yeah. But, the welfare was created to help those who are down and out. For example, my roommate, he was a working, hardworking sovereign for many years. And he put money into the system, if you will. Never took it out. And now he's down on his luck. He's weak, medically speaking. And he can't hardly provide for himself. And that's one of the reasons why I'm here, because he needed help. But, you know, he's getting food stamps.
So basically, you established a mutual support system.
Right. He's getting food stamps. I'm helping him pay his bills. I'm helping him fix his house up. I'm helping him with his health, helping him get back on his feet so that he can go back to work and get his life back in order.
There you go.
You know, but
careful though. If you get him too healthy too quickly, they'll accuse him of fraud and try to get their money back from him.
Perhaps.
This happened before.
Yeah. Well, the idea is, you know, and he told them that he's trying to get his health back so that he can, you know, go back to work. And so that's the only thing he's getting is food stamps. He's not getting any other benefits from them. I'm pretty much taking care of the other responsibilities, and that's my rent, you know. So, yeah, once he's able to go back to work, he's going to go back to work, and he won't need the food stamps anymore. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying, because they're vicious people. But I don't think that the ones that he's working with are going to try to do that, because, you know, he's talked about how they went through a series of questions and whatnot, and talked about drug testing him and whatnot, and he goes, well, shoot, I'll let him do a drug follicle test, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they didn't even bother testing him. He goes, well, I could have been lying. They go, no, people who got, you know, we deal with these kinds of people every day, all day long. People who got something to hide, they wouldn't offer to take a drug hair follicle test. You know, they can read people. So, you know, I think that, you know, as long as he's honest to a degree and not too honest, they won't mess with him. You know. But, you know, like I said, the only thing he's getting is food stamps. But anyways, the point was, you know, he isn't looking for a handout, you know. The food stamps is a hand up for him. He put into the system, and now he's getting something back from the system because he needed it. And that's what welfare was created for in the first place. Now, we agree that that's the wrong method. The church is supposed to be taking care of the welfare. We, the people, are supposed to be taking care of the welfare, which is one of the reasons why I'm here, you know, helping the guy out. That's my job. That's supposed to be my tithe and offerings, is to take care of, you know, help take care of people in situations such as this. So when I do extra, you know, besides my rent, when I do extra besides my rent, you know, he's eternally grateful, and I consider it my duty, you know, but mostly because he's grateful. If he wasn't grateful, then it wouldn't be my duty, because he'd be expecting me to take care of him, and that would be wrong for me to take care of him when he's expecting a handout. So then it would no longer be my duty. But yeah, I mean, so that's what welfare was created for in the first place. It's for people who needed it, like this guy. But there's a lot of people that, you know, the government just gives it away like it's candy, you know, like it's Halloween. Hey, come get your free candy.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the pigs in the wood story.
The what?
The pigs in the wood story. There's a story where there's this town, and there's the wild pigs out in the woods, and
Oh, yeah. To corral the wild pigs.
Yeah, you corralled them up. You gave them free corn. You gave them welfare. You know?
Yeah.
So,
So
they came to accept, love and accept it, and it ended up being their undoing.
Yep. You took them all to the slaughter.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And a nice, hefty profit on it.
Yep. That's basically
that
what
same
Uncle
story
Sam's doing.
About incrementalism.
Huh?
That same story teaches about incrementalism.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's how he got the boars, is he built their cage one step at a time. Let them get used to it. Let them see how safe it was to walk in and out of it. And in the end, he just closed the door so they couldn't walk out again. They walked in on their own. You know?
That's it.
So, you know, people walk into their own, they walk into the trap on their own. They don't even know it's a trap. They put the kids in public school. They accept the equal rights means that both the man and the wife have to work. Next thing you know, it takes both the man and the wife in order to support the family. Because their labor is now only worth half as much.
Yep.
Now, I don't necessarily agree that the woman has to stay home, you know. Matter of fact, I think that both the woman and the man should stay home. I believe they should work
home.
You know.
Well, I think they should do whatever they want. But, yeah. That was the basic of the whole gimmick behind the whole equal rights premise in the first place. To get more taxes and to cut our wages.
Well, yeah. And it didn't feel like our wages were cut because, you know, the numbers kept going up. But because of the inflation that they created, it required more of our wage to acquire the stuff we needed to live. So it got to the point where it required two incomes.
Yep. And we didn't even realize it.
So even though we're not making a dollar a day anymore, the $100 to $200 a day that we now earn doesn't buy as much as the dollar used to.
Yeah, most people don't even make that, though.
Say what?
Most people don't even make $100 a day between the two of them.
Yeah. And it used to be that a copper penny was a good day's wage. You know, if you worked all day and they paid you a copper penny, that would feed your family for a long time.
Not anymore.
No, well, but the copper penny that they were talking about was made out of real copper and it was bigger. But all the same.
Right.
It was still a hunk of copper, and it wasn't a huge piece of copper, and it would feed your family for a long time. So,
right. That copper penny was probably worth probably 10 pennies, but those 10 pennies were, you know, more valuable than a dollar.
Yeah, I can only speculate.
Yeah, those 10 pennies were more valuable than a dollar is today.
Yeah, at this point, I can only speculate.
Well, we know the dollar's not worth anything today. A copper penny today is worth more than a dollar. What's our dollar worth now? I mean, what, 10 years ago it was only worth 10 cents.
Well, by the example I gave, you know, a day's wage used to be a dollar, and that was a worthy day's wage. We consider a worthy day's wage now to be at least 100. So that's at least 100% inflation.
Right.
Or more than that, even. That's that's almost 1,000% inflation, I guess. No, 2,000. Anyway, the modern dollar is only worth about a penny of what it used to be.
Right. So, yeah, a penny is worth more than a dollar, and a dollar is worth less than a penny.
Yeah.
A copper penny.
That's a confusing thing to say.
A copper penny. It has to be a copper penny. I know, right? The screwed up world we live in. And Google wonders why people want to attack them. The IRS wonders why people want to attack them.
I don't think they wonder.
Okay. They know, but yeah, I mean, they make it out to be that they wonder. They know what they're doing.
I mean, the guy behind the desk that's auditing you, he may think he's doing a righteous thing, all right? But the boss is way up above him. We're just cattle to them.
Right. And so are the people that are working for them. So if we're cattle, how do we become the farmer?
Who, what, where?
I'm just kidding. I said if we are the cattle, how do we become the farmers?
Well, there's a nice little instruction book that tells you exactly how that happens, called Animal Farm.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure I could be in your position. I'm too honest. Okay, this podcast is reaching 3 hours. We're going to have to end it.
All righty.
So, anything in closing?
Only that I'm tired out of my mind. Time for us to say goodnight.
Any famous last words?
Yeah. Good night, all.
All right, that concludes the ScrapGov Scrap podcast, where we talk about the increase in the size, the cost, the extent of the reach, and the power of a terroristic, tyrannical, de facto government. Call in Sundays at 7 p.m. or after you get out of church, whatever comes first.
Woo-hoo.
Our website is now scrapgovscrap.com. You can also check out the scrapgovscrap.us, which is the old one, but I'm basically setting up the .com. Lenny Ladner finally changed the IP address, so we are now running successfully on the .com. So all future podcasts will be at scrapgovscrap.com. You may also find a copy of the podcast at dementeddungeonsanddragons.com. where we talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons and Dragons.
Yay, sounds fun.
All right, cool. Party on.
Good night, all.